Hi, welcome to Angular or Backbone, Go Mobile. This is part one, Angular versus Backbone. My name is Doris Chan. I'm a developer evangelist at Microsoft. Now, let me tell you a little bit more about myself. I'm a web person. I have been working on the web space for over 18 years. I have been spoken on different web-related subjects on different conferences. And before I joined the industry, I also spent a lot of years in school, trying to get my degree on computer engineering. Also, I'd like to share with you my Twitter address. It's Doris T. Chan. Notice there's a T in the middle. And my email is doris.chan@microsoft.com. If you want to hear more videos on various bleeding edge technology, Channel 9, under Doris Chan, this is my URL, and you could also find my blogs here. And to be honest with you, I don't really remember my blog address myself, but if you type Doris Chan space MSDN, then usually the top two links, one of them is my blog address. Okay, let's get started with. So the first part, we're going to talk about Angular versus Backbone. We're going to go over the architecture. We're going to compare the difference between them. And then we're going to actually show you the demo for a to-do app in part two. And part three, I'm going to show you how we could turn into the web application into a mobile application easily. Okay, so I'm going to talk about the two of the most popular frameworks according to Google Trends, Angular and Backbone. First of all, let's talk about what's in common between these two frameworks. Both of them are client-side frameworks, and both of them are based on model view related design patterns. And we will talk a little more detail about what we mean model view, whatever design patterns here. So both of them are trying to resolve the problem for what we call SPA, single page web applications, in terms of structure, module, and support multiple clients. Both of the frameworks are open sourced under MIT license. And both of the frameworks, they already have the concepts of views, events, data models, and routing. So next, we're going to talk about what's the history behind of both frameworks. Let's first start with Angular. Angular was born in 2009. It is part of the commercial product called Get Angular. And what's brought attention is one of the founders, Misko Havery. He actually turned a more complex web application from 17,000 lines of code in 6 months into 1,000 lines of code in 3 weeks by using, at the time, we called just Get Angular. And immediately, gets a lot of attention. Google starts to sponsor it. So it becomes open source project called AngularJS. Now, Google owns it. So obviously, one of the big reasons why Angular is so popular today is really because Google is behind. So let's talk about a little bit about Backbone. Backbone was born a year later, 2010. And it's really the very first few of those very lightweight MVC framework. So immediately, it's getting a lot of acceptance from the community because it is really a very lean way towards another way to address a problem if you compare to some very heavy, fully featured one, say MVC, MVVC, some frameworks like external JS. So next we talk about a learning curve and flexibilities between these two frameworks. So start with Angular again. Angular, when you first look at that, it's kind of like very easy. Loving first sight, pretty easy to get started with. However, after the very basic stuff, it does involve quite a steep learning curve. And second thing is Angular is highly opinionated. It's really the angry way to think about everything. You really have to read the documentation and then to understand the vocabulary, the framework, and the important thing is to think about it in an angry way. And obviously, one of the complaints is the reading documentation is not as easy, and there's still a lot of anger specific thing you need to learn. Lack of examples is also another thing people complain about anger. But it is getting better. Switch the gear, backbone. Backbone is very, very basic. It's very easy to learn. You could just look into the tutorial and go over some examples for about half an hour. You really get the whole concept behind. Because really, backbone is what we call the traditional way doing web application. So if you know jQuery, you basically understand that the classical way to do the web event handling and all those things. And backbone is really designed on top of that. And what's cool about that is it's not opinionated at all. Like I said, if you understand a jQuery kind of framework, you understand the most fundamental of backbone. It's the most flexible framework with very less to really learn like conventions and opinions. However, because it's so flexible, it's still a traditional way to do web development. So you need to make a lot of decisions when using backbone in terms of architecture, in terms of modules, and so on. And then a lot of times you do need to watch for a lot of tutorials to learn some of the best practice because you need to make a decision. You want to follow best practice to do the backbone application. And usually, you know, it is not a sort of like you could use just backbone by itself. You usually have to learn some other libraries on top of backbone. So it does take some learning curve to learn some other third-party libraries. Community. One of the big things for any frameworks to survive is how big and how well the community is behind. So this is another thing to share with you. If you're looking to any new of the frameworks, one thing you do want to examine is the community support. If there is not much community support behind, the framework is probably not going to survive very well. So if you look at the things I listed here, based on that matrix, both Angular and Backbone has pretty good stores on the GitHub. 29.8 versus 19.3, pretty good. Third-party modules, 800 versus over 200, it's all very good. The questions on Stack Overflow is almost 50K versus 16K. Very good coverage by the community and to post a question and answer them. And you could see the YouTube result and the GitHub contributors and also the Chrome extensions are also very good. But overall, Angular has a little bit more community support than Backbone. Okay, this would be a good kind of overview of Angular and Backbone. So let's actually categorize different things to examine different aspects of Angular and Backbone. Like I said before, both of them are based on model view whatever. So Angular is really model view whatever. It doesn't really have a control module, but it does provide controller functionality. And we will talk about it in more detail later. Backbone is really based on model view and view control kind of design pattern. So for this short video, we don't really have room to talk about all the design patterns, but I will do another video to focus on the MVC, the fundamentals. Templates. Angular could just run it by itself. It provides the template itself. It's included. It doesn't need additional template engine. Also, it doesn't support another template engine because the template is embedded inside Angular. Whereas Backbone, yes, you do need some other template engine such as underscore.js. You do need underscore.js to go with Backbone. Now, let's talk about the file size. Both of them quite small, right? Because Angular doesn't need much dependency, so the size, it could just use Angular.js library. The size is close to 40K, but in reality, most likely, we're also going to work with Angular and jQuery. backbone is claimed to be really, really small, 6.5K, right? But in reality, you have to go with the underscore and the jQuery. So overall, the size is about 43.5. So like I said, both of them are very small size of frameworks. Next, the template support. Angular has it, but Backbone doesn't. What I mean next to the template, for example, if I have a person's name, say my name, Doris Chen, right? So my first name is Doris, my last name is Chen. Angular, you could actually easily separate Doris from Chen. So you could have first name, last name. But Backbone doesn't have that. You have to actually use your own way to implement that. Perhaps one of the most important features people look at nowadays for the frameworks is data binding. Angular does provide a data binding, while Backbone doesn't. Both of them providing the routing mechanism, and both of them you could use with other frameworks as well, and we'll talk about that in more detail. Now, in general, Angular provides a lot more features than Backbone. It provides dependency injection, directives, which is very, very important thing in Angular, expression, tooling binding. This is a data binding which is Angular is really famous for. HTML5 validations, form validations, and filtering. All those things are implemented in the Angular. And for today's Angular, I'm going to focus on 1.0. Okay, so before I actually start with templates, let me actually show you a simple demo that I implemented called To-Do app. So I'm using Visual Studio 2015. Community Edition is free. And I will actually go over both To-Do app in more detail in part two video. For now, I'm going to just run a quick demo. This is a To-Do app, use AngularJS, and I'm actually going to show it to use our Microsoft newest browser, Edge. And what you can see is it's a very simple form. You could put what you be working on next. For example, I say, okay, I'm going to actually work more on my presentation. And then obviously you could look at the whole list. Some of them already done like jogging. So I could actually cross it out. And the presentation, you know, I almost finished that. So I could expect to get it done pretty soon. So I could actually just get rid of that. All right, and then I also have a persistence in the back, so all those items will be saved. And we'll show you more code again in part two video. Okay, so basically this is a to-do app list I'm talking about. There are two things. One is entering the new items into it. The other thing is you could actually modify the particular item and you could cross it out or you could actually get rid of that, right? Okay, so let's talk about the templates in Angular. Angular's templates is very simple because, like I said before, it has an embedded engine there. So it's really simplified HTML with a binding expression. So everything is really represented inside the curly braces, right? So if you look at that, almost you could actually read it. It's like English. Angular way of doing the expression is almost describe the behavior as HTML rather than what you see it a bunch of like tags or those things. Now, you could see a list of frameworks. So for example, I could actually list a list of frameworks with framework in frameworks. So meaning frameworks here is a collection of those framework. And all those framework and the frameworks, you don't need to define anywhere else. When you have ng-repeat, which is basically a default ng-repeat directive inside Angular, it will follow the pattern. It will find, I want to list the framework. This is a collection of frameworks I'm looking for. Now, the expression things is really in, like I said, in curly braces. So I could easily say framework.description, what's a description of the framework under the title. And I could also list the name of the framework. So just simple as that. That's how it happened in Angular. Now let's look at a backbone. Backbone is actually a little more complex because it has to work with the outside template engine called underscore. Underscore is very basic. You really have to sort of like mix JavaScript into the HTML. So this is, if you look at that, this is basically a very sort of traditional way we're doing the JavaScript inside HTML, right? Started with parentheses, percentage, and then basically you go through each of the framework, and then you know, you really putting the framework description, framework name, all in the JavaScript kind of format. So in the representation, backbone templates is a lot messy to look at. Model. So model is really something that is pretty easily to really use in Angular, because Angular does not use observable properties. There's no restriction to really implement that model, meaning there is no particular thing is required in the Angular application. You have to implement a model. There is no extension to a class or interface to implement. And you could use any of the framework or models to go with that. As a matter of fact, you could actually use the existing backbone models. So in reality, most of developers could just use any of the POJO, plain old JavaScript objects, to use it as Angular model. Now, what happened for the model in Backbone? Backbone is actually a little more complex. It does have a model to implement. So inside a Backbone, you have to actually use Backbone keyword dot model dot extend. And then you have to actually basically tell us about, in this case, say this is a to-do add items. And you could say, what's the name of the to-do items? If it's already done or not. And then if you want to put a location, you could put a location there. And then you could also implement some of the model. Say, remember when I toggle the to-do items, I could actually say if it's done or if it's crossed out, or I should get rid of that, right? So all those things you could implement in a model. Now, in addition to a single kind of model object, like an item, you could also implement the collections. In this case, it's a to-do list items, right? So I have to actually implement a to-do collection by using backbone.collection.extend. And then basically, it's depending on a collection of the model, which is the to-do model I implemented before. Again, to summarize what I just said, Backbone is built around observable properties. It is forced to implement both model and the collection by using extend, backbone.model, and backbone.collection. Now, Backbone itself, like I said, there's no data binding. It does not support observing functions or properties. So you really have to reset a lot of changes. Basically, you have to actually handle a model and a view. You have to actually handle all the data binding yourself. So let's actually talk about a few good things about Angular. Actually, there's a lot of good things about Angular. Again, it's a two-way binding. Model and view, it providing automatically data binding. So you don't have to worry about if there's any change in the view or change in the model, they're going to update each other. It's also using the dependency injection, so a lot of all those resources, you could grab it and use it right away. It's using what we call directives, which is very easy to test code and based on the HTML dialect. So it's a HTML-related syntax, but it's more focused on the behavior of HTML. And again, it's providing out-of-box support for filters, reusable services, and factory methods. And in part two, when I talk about a demo code, I will talk more about those features. There is no need for direct DOM manipulation or writing all those prompting code compared to the backbone. So it is not a traditional way to do web application. You don't have to worry about the low-level prompting code. It's all taken care of by Angular itself. It also provides what we call dirty checking. There's no need to have a getter and a setter, those things. And it could modify the property, and Angular could detect the changes and then notify all the watchers. So again, this is a part of the two-way binding itself. Okay, so let's take a look at some of the examples of the two-way bindings and directives. So if you still remember the to-do app, I was talking about it before. Right, so you do remember I need to actually show the list of the items in that to-do list. So this is what I start with, ng dash repeat, right? To-do items, it's a single item. In to-dos, to-do is basically a collection of those items. And again, you don't have to worry about the to-do item or to-dos defining them, because once you have the default ng repeat directive, which is a part of the Angular, people knows, okay, I'm going to go through an item in a collection called to-dos. And again, a few things is very easy to use is I could immediately defining if that particular item is done as a Boolean, then I cross out. So I could associate it with the CSS to cross it out, right? And then also you could very easily to show what is exactly the description of that to-do item by simply use to-do item.txt. And this is how we actually do it. So again, there is a default ng-model associated with the Angular model, so you could use it very easily. Also, we have some what we call a template expression. I could also, if I want to show where I actually put or enter that to-do item, the location, I could actually having a to-do item.address. So all those text, address, done, all those things is actually reserved or saved under the ng model, in this case is to-do item. Okay, the other good things about the Angular is you could see it's very, in addition to very simple to do two-way binding, to do all those expression, it also break all the blocks into different things by the framework itself, like a controllers, directives, factories, filters, service, and view. All those things is actually taken care by the Angular itself. Whereas when we talk about a backbone, all those things you have to really decide, you have to define yourself. Again, views is basically the UI interface design. Controllers is really the logic behind the views. Service is how we actually try to communicate with a back end or how we actually communicated with a local storage, for example. Directives is a bunch of reusable components. And again, they really describe the behavior of HTML. Directives is really, it could be providing by the Angular itself, or you could actually have your own customized directives, which I will talk about that in more detail later. Promise is a very popular patterns in nowadays, and promises really play a very important role in Angular. Okay, now I'd like to spend a little bit of time to talk about a customized directives. It's called customer directives, because a lot of times you want to reuse your module, but some of the directives are not defined in the Angular. So hence, we want to implement our own. Remember when I do the demo, I could actually change the to-do item, that a particular text, right? So I would love to have a particular action called change to-do text. So how do I do that? First, I actually defining a new directives called ng-text-change. And then I will actually fit into my particular function called change to do text, right? Including the to do item into it. Now, next, what you would do is you want to pay attention. You want to defining this particular customer directives in your Angular. So the way to do that is defining a directive and then putting ng text change. Now notice there is a change of the name convention. Here is really a kind of like a dash kind of fashion, and here is kind of like a camel kind of case, right? There's no dash, and it's just summarized an ng text change. Make sure you understand the difference between these two name convention, because if you use ng dash just exactly the way it is, putting the here, you're not going to get any customer directives defined. This is really something I was hoping Angular could be well documented, but it's not. So just pay attention to that. Now, afterwards, you will be defining a few things for that custom directive. For example, what is the particular restriction? A means its attributes, because we're not going to change the look and the feel of that to-do item, right? We're only going to change the content, the text of that. So we just put A as attribute. Now, you could also put elements if you're going to change the look and the feel of that particular item. So syntax-wise, it could be different. Could it be different font? Could it be different color? And so on. You could also put another class. Say you want to actually work with that particular class level. Then it would be a C. So basically, A, E, C are three different kind of types you could put. And then in our case, we're going to just replace the model context. So we're going to actually put an ng model. And then in the function, we're going to just say if there's any change for that particular model, then apply the change into that by using the eval and then getting that particular text change into it. This is exactly what we do. All right, so next, we're going to talk about how to implement that change to do text, right? So this is really a JavaScript function. We just want to change the text, right? So again, we actually use a promise pattern here, right? So you could actually give the get an address call and then try to get an address of that and then update the storage. We will talk about it in more detail in part two. Update the storage where I'm going to save that item. In this case, it's the local storage. And then we could actually see if there's an error message, I'm going to catch up the error message. This is a really good use of a promise pattern. Okay, so we talk about the customer directives. We talk about how to define it. We talk about how to implement appropriate the methods associated with that. So next, we're going to talk about a few bad things about Angular. Now, it is extremely opinionated. Could be frustrated, right? Because you're learning a new framework. You're learning new vocabulary, new architecture, new way of thinking. Right, all the traditional way you're doing jQuery, all the kind of classical kind of way doing things are not useful anymore, right? So it could be frustrated at the beginning. And also, the directives could be super complicated because the documentation is not that well done. So a lot of times you have to really try to understand that. Because there's a lot of predefined ng- kind of Angular directives, but you really have to understand what are those things, right? And sometimes the expression language itself could be too powerful and too complex. For example, if you look at that, this is something, it's going to work. You could copy and paste into HTML, it's going to work. But hey, if I make a simple mistake, if I screwed up something, if I made a typo there, there's no way you could debug it. Right, it's too complex. Nobody could debug it. So sometimes it's just way too powerful, make it too complex to debug and very easy to make a mistake. Scope, if you're not from object-oriented programming background, sometimes could be difficult for you to understand. But it is actually a little confusing because you have to understand a scope in order to make sure you use the scope in the right way. And also, it will be appreciated to have more building support so that it make Angular a lot easier to program. Backbone. Let's switch the gear, talk about Backbone. A few good things is it's very compact, very minimal, very easy to learn, to understand, and it's not opinionated at all. If you understand a jQuery classical JavaScript programming model, you really get most of the concepts. Get a huge community support and a lot of solutions on the Stack Overflow already. But framework is very easy to learn, so you don't really have a difficult time to understand a lot of specific things in the Backbone framework. There's a lot of popular application using Backbone already. For example, Twitter, Foursquare, LinkedIn Mobile, Pandora, and a lot more. Now let's just switch the gear, talk about bad things about Backbone. In my opinion, it's too hands-off. You need to develop your own thing, just about everything, in terms of architecture, the layout structure, the memory management. You have to do everything by yourself. And there's also a lot of third-party plugins, so you have a lot of options to work with, but it could also add a more learning curve because you have to do research. You have to pick the right third-party library for you to work with, right? So there's a lot of research and learning there as well. Perhaps one of the big thing two things to sort of complain about this framework is no data binding. All the view model change, all the code, you have to do it yourself. All the event handling, all the low-level prompting, you have to do it yourself. And also there's no nested model, right? Like I said, you cannot just say, I have a user model and I want to get a name first equals to say Tom, and then set that first name into something. You can't do that. You can't have this such a first, last kind of nested model. You have to implement it yourself. And then also, all the views have to manipulate all the DOM directly, make them really hard to do any unit testing. So it's not very easy to reuse all the code because everything is tightly coupled with DOM. Okay, so let me actually just give you a little bit idea about how both frameworks work with CSS. So if you look at the backbone, which is the top half, when I try to add in the cross-out feature or effect onto that particular item, I really, in the backbone, I have to put this is input DOM, right? And adding that cross, I just call it cross out, right? And then you have to actually literally add that CSS property and remove that CSS property by yourself in the backbone. Whereas inside Angular is a lot easy to do. Angular has ng-cross, which is a directive, and it could just associate with the property of the CSS property crossed out with the to-do item booting, either it's done or not done, right? And that's about it in Angular. So if you look at the implementation in terms of integration with CSS, implement those features, Angular seems a lot easier to do. Okay, so I just compared all the good things and bad things about Angular, compared architecture, compared overview, and compare some of the sample code of both to-do apps. This is the end of part one video. And again, in part two video, we're going to actually explore into the detail of the sample code, the to-do app. We're going to go over the detail of the to-do app in Angular and also in Backbone. We get to show you some of the characteristics of both frameworks. And we're also going to show you some of the performance, the resource, and so on. So thank you for watching part one, Angular versus Backbone. Stay tuned and look into part two for more code and demo.